ears open.
We are starting L'Chadodi, one of the most beloved of all the pismonim of the songs that we have in Tefillah, and one that everybody knows. And to the how well known is this within the Jewish world, even though it's from the 16th century, as we're going to be finding out relatively soon.
Rabbi, what's his name?
Shlomo Alkabetz. Alkabetz. Yeah, and you're going to see, even I have a picture of his kever on one of your pages and so forth. So, but at any rate, even though it's only relatively young in terms of tefillah, right, it's about 400, 500 years old, it is incredibly popular. And in one of the major works on Jewish liturgy, it was already known that there were over 2,000 melodies. And that particular book on Jewish liturgy was written in the, somewhere in the 1950s, 1960s.
How many melodies?
Over 2,000 known melodies for L'Chadodi. Right? So it's very interesting.
Was that Slack Rock?
So it's obviously extremely popular. Mm-hmm. It has captured the Jewish mystique, the Jewish mentality, and it's become part and parcel, really, in some ways, of who we are. Okay, so first of all, the word Lecha itself, okay, as we have on our first page, which looks like this. Lecha means come, let us go. But who in the world is this Dodi? So everybody knows a very famous pasuk where the word Dodi is used.
I knew Dodi,
okay, it's usually the kind of pasuk that husbands will often say to their wives during Shana Rishona, right? And everyone will, remind one another about the Dodi. So what does Dodi mean there when we use the word Dodi? Okay? So Dodi in that context means beloved. Okay? Now, another idea is that he is my Yadid. Alright, so what does Yadid mean? It means a friend. Okay, but it means more than just a friend. Because what else could you say for a friend? What's the more obvious use of a word for friend? Chaver. Or in your guy's case, chavera. Right? But so Yadid is something different than Chavera Chavera. Exactly. And then we also have the famous term, the song, the beautiful song, Yadid Nefesh. And so I'm already giving you a hint. Who do you think Lecha Dodi then refers to? Who is the Dodi?
Hashem.
Ah, beautiful. Exactly. And we say even in Shir HaShirim, Ani L'Dodi, V'Dodi Li, okay, which is talking about the eternal love affair that obtains between Klal Yisrael and Kutcher Bricho.
But couldn't Dodi also be my uncle?
Well, I don't think anyone's ever translated it as uncle. Theoretically, could it be?
You know I'm different.
Yes.
Maybe it was uncle-less.
No, okay, yeah. But theoretically, yes, it could be that. Okay, but it could mean also friend, or it could mean beloved, which is, again, why it's a great Shana Rishana Pasuk, right? Everyone will use that. And hopefully, if Shana Rishana works out the right way, use it for the rest of your lives together, right? That's how it is. Now, why would we use such a word as Dodi? So here, I'm going to draw on the notes from Rabbeinu Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, as he has in his Sidur. I didn't want to go and sort of Xerox that out and then use it with you for a very simple reason. It's particularly, in this particular case, it was particularly difficult translation from the German to the English. And when you're reading the English, you feel like you're in the midst of the German, because it's that kind of translation for this particular section. So I didn't use it. Instead, I used a number of his sources. Okay, one of the sources that Rav Hirsch quotes is right here from Yeshayahu, which is one of the early sources since especially Navi comes before Ketuvim, it's one of the earlier sources where we talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu as something to deal with the word Yedid or Yedidi or something along those lines. So let's look at it together. It's the verse from Yeshayahu Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph. So Ashira now, I will sing please, because now it really means please, right? Kel na refana la, right? The shortest tefillah in probably recorded history. Right? It's Moshe davening for who? Miriam, when Miriam got Sarat. Okay? So na means please. So Ashira na, I will sing please liyadidi to, or on behalf of my beloved. Now this is Yeshayahu. So Yeshayahu is not talking about Shana Rishana. Who's he talking about? Kutcher Brichu. Okay, and he will sing, I will sing please to my beloved, okay, because here a friend doesn't exactly work out. Shirat Dodi, the song of my beloved. Okay, and then he goes, L'charmol, in regards to his vineyard. Kerem Hayali Adidi, my beloved used to have a vineyard. Bekeren ben Shamen. Let me take my glasses off for a sec because it's very small to keep up. Bekeren ben Shamen, right? In the corner of a fertile field. So, without going deep into all the Mefarshim, I think what Yeshayahu is talking about is when Klal Yisrael used to be befriending HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and acting in a way of keeping the Torah. So what then was the Kerem? Kerem was Beit HaMikdash, the whole idea of the closeness of the Shechina, and so forth. Obviously, look at the Lashon here, the Pasuk, Kerem Haya. Haya is what kind of Lashon? Was. Right? He had this. But at any rate, what you see very clearly, if that metaphor holds true, if the metaphor holds true, is that we're talking about closeness, the ultimate closeness of man with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? One source. The next source is also taken from Rav Hirsch. I quoted it in full because it's absolutely beautiful. Let's take a look at it. This is Bereshit Rabbah. Now, does everyone know what Bereshit Rabbah is? I think I've mentioned it before. So it's an agadic medrash. Agadic means it's non-halachic. Okay, because you have Agadata and you have Halacha, two different kinds of Midrashim. You have Agadic Midrashim, Halachic Midrashim, okay, without going into a whole conversation about it. So this is very importantly maybe the most important of all the Agadic Midrashim, okay? And the person we're about to engage is none other than Rabbi Shimon Ben or Bar Yochai, the author, according to Chazal, of the Zohar. Okay? Without getting into the whole conversation, that's the simplest way to say it. So what do we have? We have Tani Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, lives in the 2nd century in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai taught. And if you're looking for a beautiful, you can share this with the family. Do try this at home. It's beautiful. Amra Shabbat Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbat said to the Holy One, blessed be He. Okay, obviously, it's all a metaphor. Okay. Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. L'chulan Yesh Ben Zug. Everybody has a partner. Sunday has Monday. Tuesday has Wednesday. What about me? I'm the odd man out. Or in the case of Shabbat, I'm the odd woman out. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not getting a shidduch. Right? So, Amra Shabbat Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Ribbono Shel Olam L'chulam Yesh Zug. Right? And you can imagine, you know, how sad that is. V'li Ein Ben Zug. And I don't have my partner. I'm all alone. Okay? Amar La, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to who? To Shabbat. Knesset Yisrael, He Ben Zugech. Don't worry. The Jewish people for all time, the trans-historical entity of the Jewish people, they're your partner. V'kevan she'amdu Yisrael lifnei har Sinai, and when the Jewish people, right, we just read about it in Parshat Yitro, okay, when the Jewish people stood before Hashem at Har Sinai, Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, hey guys, don't forget. Zachru hadavar shamarti l'Shabbat. Remember what I already said to Shabbat. You guys have to step up to the plate here. Okay? Knesset Yisrael, hi ben zugech. Remember what I told Shabbat. The Jewish people, they're your partner. So, of course, the obvious question is, well, how did this happen? It's not recorded in the Torah. Or is it? Bidiyuk nachon. Hainu, dibur. That's the dibur of one of the Yisrael Adibrot. Zacharet Yom HaShabbat l'kadsho. And what does that mean? So it's very interesting. It's a play on words here. Okay? I didn't even see this in the Mefarshim. But l'kadsho. Okay? L'kadsho is very similar to hare at So your partner for all eternity, your ben zug for all eternity, is the Jewish people. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful metaphor. Okay,
ask
now,
a question.
I can always ask a question. Doesn't mean I'll have the answer, but go ahead.
Because I remember, I think it was with you, that you pointed it out, that why doesn't it use the pasuk shamar as Yom HaShabbat l'kadsho? Why is it using his zachar?
Ah, good. Because the idea here is that Klal Yisrael is bidden, is reminded, to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already promised the Jewish people to who? To Shabbat. So that's not going to work if you use Shamor. That doesn't have any idea of remembering or reminding. But it's a good question. Good question. Okay. Now, we have a very beautiful idea. This is my second page of Makorot. And we have to, in a sense, wrap our heads around the following. Chadodi and the Mekubalim, as we understand it, none of this takes place, certainly the Kabbalistic circle that was in Tzfat. Anyone here ever been in Tzfat?
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I love that.
I'll tell you about
it. We love it. We have pictures.
Okay. Okay, so I'll tell you about Tzfat in a second, because you've been there. Let's see if we have similar memories. But that whole circle, right, is 16th century. Rav Yosef Karo was part of it. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. Here's a slightly less Xeroxed picture that, through the good people at Wikipedia, I was able to get. Okay, so that's the 16th century. So remember, if it's really an amazing, off the chart, great idea, you're probably not the first person to have imagined it or thought about it. So what we see really is that L'cha Dodi has strong roots. First, we saw the Medrash, and we saw Yeshayahu. But even more than that, we have something fascinating. What do we all know? We've all heard this ad infinitum, that the Mukubalim in the 16th century in Tzfat, they went out into the fields.
And
they waited for the queen.
The queen, rather.
Shavata Malka, right? And they basically, what do we think of when we think of that? We think of the Bratzlivers dancing together every Erev Shabbat, which I did with Bratzlivers, by the way, when I was in Israel in 1974 and in 75. That was an amazing experience. Not for now, because I'll go off on a 15-minute tangent. But at any rate, that's what we think of. So this took place as well when? In the first century. Let's take a look. Talmud Bavli, Masechet Shabbat. Look what we have. Rabbi Chanina. Right? He lived in the first and second century, and yes, he was a Tana, he was part of the Mishnah. Mi'atef, he would cloak himself, says Rashi. Rashi had a slightly different text. He had mitatef. Okay, so when I saw the word mi'atef, what did I think? So those of you who have ever taught your little boys how to put on tzitzis, so I thought it was mi'atev lihita teif ba tzitzit, or maybe lihita teif ba tzitzis, whatever you taught your son, right? So that's what I thought it was talking about. Says Rashi, no, you're wrong. Bebegadim na'im. So Rabbi Chanina would dress up in his finery, whatever the finery was in the first and second century in what was then called Palestine. It's the only time that Palestine had such a name in reality. Okay. V'kai apanya. And he would stand up. Okay. D'ma'ale Shabbata. On Erev Shabbat. Ma'ale Shabbata means Erev Shabbat. And yes, it's Aramaic. Okay. And he would stand up. So imagine you have this sagacious individual, this genius chacham. And he dresses up for all the world, like it's what, everybody? He's going out in a shidduch. Huh. Right? Because he's going to meet who? The Shabbat queen. Okay. Look what we have. Amar. Tell me if this doesn't remind you of Lecha Dodi. Ba'u v'netze. Right? Mm-hmm. Come and let us go. Mm-hmm. Likrat Shabbat. Mm-hmm. To greet Shabbat HaMalkah, the Shabbat queen. Okay? So, that's one obvious source. But again, 15 centuries before the Mukubalim in Tzfat, right? But it's a clear-as-day source. Rabbi Yanai, okay, now he lives in the first half of the 3rd century. And don't get overcome. I looked all this up. I didn't have it in the back of my hand. So, But I wanted to give you context. Because information without context is never something you can remember, right? If right now I give you a series of 20 numbers that I pick at random, you're going to remember two or three of them, but you're going to sit there and go, yeah, sure. We always talk numbers with, you know, in this year, right? You're going to not remember them. But if I give you a context, then, okay, so you may not remember it's first, second, or third, but you'll remember, you know what? Very ancient precedent. Specifically for this Lecha Dodi. That's what I want you to read. That's the takeaway. So Rabbi Yani Lavish Ma'anya Ma'alei Shabbat. So he too got ready for the Shidduch. He put on his finest robes on Erev Shabbat. Now, wow, this is going to knock your socks off. Look what it says. V'yamar, Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. Wow.
Sounds familiar. Yes.
Exact. So
you remember the Chabad.
See? Isn't this amazing? It's very interesting. Okay. Last but not least, before we get into the text. Oh, by the way, let's look at the Rashi where it says, Bo'i Kala. Mm-hmm. So Rashi, very nicely, now remember, oh, interestingly enough, ready? Rashi lived before L'cha Dodi. Rashi lives in 1040 to 1105. It wasn't invented yet. But Rashi does help us understand what Bo'i Kala means. And by extension, if Bo'i Kala means that in the Gemara, Bo'i Kala is going to mean that when? L'cha Dodi. So how come he would say Bo'i Kala? Come, my bride. Look what he says. It's so beautiful. Hachi kari leil shavitat Shabbat. This is what he called the spiritual rest of Shabbat. Why? Mitoch chavivut. Because of its beloved quality and its stature. Okay? So we could sort of have an echo of that, right? You'll see the bumper stickers sometimes. They'll say, hang in there, Shabbat's coming.
Right?
Isn't that how we feel? Right? Okay, so who is the author? You ready? That's the last thing. And again, there's this kever in Sfat. I don't know exactly where it is. I'm going to take a guess. That it's probably, I don't know if the kever's in Sfat or in Tveria. I'm not positive where it is, but it looks like maybe a Tveria kind of kever. If you've ever seen the Rambam's kever in Tveria and stuff like that. And by the way, as a former chavruta of mine once said, he said, did you see the Rambam's kever? I said, yeah. He said, do you know who you were passing along the way? I said, I didn't pay a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. He goes, great, you walked past the Tanaim from the Mishnah because you wanted to get to the Rambam.
It's just, you know,
you're such a litvak, you know.
So many cavers in Tveria.
They're all buried, like, together?
Many in Tveria.
Yeah.
You know, not that there aren't buried other places.
Who was it? Yeah, Wiesel walked around and said, this one is buried here, and this one is buried here, and this...
Yeah, that's one of the statements about the Arizal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and who knows? He probably had that ability.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. So, Rosh Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, okay, he was born 1500 in Salonika, which is in Greece, and he passed away in Tzfat, right, in 1580. And then you see the rest of what it says about him. He was a rabbi, Kabbalist, poet, known for Lechad Odi, and as you see right away, we don't really know when he wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers here almost sound like what happens in a huddle when you're playing football. Mm-hmm. 1529, 1540, 1571, hike. Right? We don't know when it was. We don't know when it was. But we know he was... We know it was the person who did it. By the way, because what do you have? You know, in all the good Sidurim, you see his initials.
Mm-hmm.
Shlomo. Right, that's how we know. Okay, any questions on the introductory level before we start doing some of the verses? Okay, so let's do that. So I have a different kind of booklet because I have individual pages, but this is where everyone should be. Okay? I picked this up somewhere on the web. I don't remember even where, so I can't tell you exactly. Okay, my translation on occasion is going to change from what you see here, but it's still pretty good, what is here. So everyone knows L'chad Odi, L'kvay Kalah, P'nei Shabbat, N'kan Olah. And
I know, I have the same problem.
I remember... I'm sorry?
Where's the brakes to the chair?
Oh, yeah. I'm used to it because we use these for a few minutes in Kiddush. Yeah. And then afterwards you feel like a little kid in your dad's office.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yay! You know, okay, I got it. Okay, so... I'll tell you an experience I had in 1974 with L'chad Odi from Temanim. I was used, of course, to L'chad Odi L'krat, or, you know, some other variation. So this is what I heard when I went into a Temani shul in Israel. Just like that. I looked at somebody and said,
what's that?
What are we doing here? He said, that's L'chad Odi. I said,
in what language?
Nah. And it was. So it's like one of the 2,000 melodies, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would much prefer the German melody of L'chad Odi, you know, what we sing. But at any rate, just to show you that there are just so many variants. So what do we have right away? So L'cha, we already looked at, which means come. Dodi, my beloved. Now, here, one of you, I think it might have been Arlene, mentioned that Dodi was Yedid Nefesh, referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? Yedid Nefesh, Avraham Haman. And that's one of the very beloved songs. We actually even sing that song here in our shul on Friday nights. Okay, we sing it at Shalosh Shudas. Everybody sings it at Shalosh Shudas as well. So, come, my beloved, Likrat Kala, to go and meet the Kala, which of course is
Shabbat.
So it's a very, very interesting thing. Now we can look at it with the background that we have, the context we have. Who was saying L'chad Odi? Who's saying that? Who's, as we would say, going back to your grammar school, right? Mi amar al mi. Who said it? Who's saying this to who?
Hashem is saying it to B'nai Yisrael.
Other way around.
We're inviting on Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Sorry.
Don't feel bad. It's okay. I do that kind of thing all the time. Okay?
Dyslexia.
This is the Jewish people inviting the Shekhinah to come out and meet Shabbat. What a beautiful idea. So what is it really? In Hebrew, how do you say invitation? You say the word zimun. Right? It's a zimun. It's an invitation. But it's... What?
Like a mezumen?
Well, same word. Mezumen would mean inviting people to say Rabbatai Nevarech or and so forth. Yeah, it's the same word. And it all goes back to Zayin Mem Nun, which is Zman. So what we're doing is you're saying, let's, with an invitation or a zimun, right, for davening, right, for saying Birkat HaMazon together, you're saying, let's take this time. That's because it's, again, Zman. Let's take this time and make it special for us. Okay? Interestingly enough, you know, Lahavdil, what does Apple call its communication program where you can have live video stream?
YouTube.
FaceTime.
FaceTime.
Let's have FaceTime together. Because that's what it is. When you care about somebody, you spend time with them. So here is Bnei Yisrael inviting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hey, I got a great idea, Yadid Nefesh. Let's go meet Shabbat together. What a beautiful thought. So here's where the Tzfat piece comes in, right? If you, I'm sure almost all of you, if not all of you, you remember being sort of on the higher part of Tzfat on the road, right? Looking out into the fields, okay? And part of what you're looking at, of course, is a cemetery. Some of it very ancient and old. I still remember Ad HaYom HaZeh, the first time I saw it. I remember seeing the kids from Kiryat Shmona. I remember that terrible tragedy. But then, of course, besides that, just to not dwell on the horrendous, you know, you have all the tzaddikim and and all of that. And, but then you have what looks to be an endless, endless, endless field. So I always thought that that's the field, right? I can see the sun going down, and there's the field, and they're, you know,
ma'utaf,
the anticipation. They're all dressed, you know, in their Shabbat finery as the sun's going down, and they're singing, they're dancing, and they're well saying, Lecha Dodi Likvat Kala. Okay. So, Pnei Shabbat Nikabla. Okay, now Pnei Shabbat, obviously Shabbat doesn't have a face. So what are we talking about, Pnei Shabbat Nekabla? So Pnei Shabbat means really what? The presence of Shabbat. So come, come Yadid Nefesh, come HaKadosh Baruch Hu, join me. We're going to meet the Shabbat Queen, right? That you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created for us as our zivig, really. Okay, and we're going to encounter the presence of Shabbat. That's what Pnei Shabbat means. Okay, so far so good on the on the, what do you call this? This is the refrain, right? The chorus, or the refrain, the chorus. Okay, that's what they call it. All right, now let's start. Now here's a good question about your Shamor and Zachor piece. How come? And I don't have an answer. How come? If the whole thing is based on the idea of Zachor, and remember the Knesset Yisrael is the Ben Zug, right, to Shabbat, why do we start with the word Shamor? Number one. Number two, I have another question on it. Where does Shamor appear and where does Zachor appear? Shamor appears in Vayelchanan. Zachor appears in Yitro. Right? So it's not even the right way. And no one can tell me that it had to be written that way, because you could have said Zachor v'shamor b'dibur, you know, or something that would sound slightly musical, not like what I do. Okay? And it would be okay. So no matter how you're going to sing it. So I didn't really have an answer, except I was thinking that here we are in the midst of greeting Shabbat. So maybe Rav Shlomo Alkabetz wanted us not to forget there's also a strong halakhic component to Shabbat as well, which is why he has Shamor first, even though it appears second in Chamisha Chamshei Torah itself. That was just an idea. But at any rate, Shamor v'Zachor. Now, what's the idea of Shamor? Shamor is the idea really of malacha, to guard, but and to refrain, right, from creative activity. Right, it's basically mostly a lo ta'ase. Okay, whereas Zachor is an ase. Okay, so, but in a sense, maybe Rav Shlomo Alkabetz is telling us this. You know what, you really can't get to Zachor unless you focus on Shamor first. Because it's very, very nice that you're lighting candles. But if Shabbat starts at 5:15, I'm not saying it does this week, don't get nervous. But let's say if Shabbat starts at 5:15, you're not getting any points if you're lighting at 7 o'clock.
Oh, you don't.
Right? And so on and so forth. So, and you know, you're not getting points if you, you know, drive to shul. for example, because, well, you want to be in shul. It's not, so in a sense, he's giving us precedence. He's telling us, shamor v'zachor. Okay?
Isn't now, for protection?
Excuse?
Isn't it more like a protection to protect the quality of the Shabbat?
It is. It is. One of the names I like always about that is that Shabbat is an island in time. Mm-hmm. It's a title of a book from Rav Heschel. Shabbat, being an island in time. I always thought that was a beautiful concept. And he, thoroughly based himself on major, major Jewish scholarship. So I thought that was a beautiful image. And you're right? You're creating a symbolic protective mechanism for Shabbat for those 25 and a half, 26 hours. Okay? That's a good idea.
But if you remember the Shabbos,
yep,
then you'll know it's a shamar.
That's also true. So this becomes the famous, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Mm-hmm. Some people like to do some of the customs or rituals, because they think they're beautiful, but they don't keep Shabbat.
Right.
So,
but maybe they will someday.
Right, they don't keep Shabbat yet.
The horse doesn't always take you to Shamor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But usually if you're already at the point of Shamor, you're probably doing some degree of Zachor. Okay, that's good. Now, by the way, all of this could be well obviated by the idea of B'dibur Echad. Because what happened, as Rashi explains, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu actually spoke them simultaneously. Excuse me, for human consumption, given our finitude, we couldn't understand something that was spoken simultaneously. So therefore,
passed out on the first commandment.
Right, we weren't doing all that great, okay, and disappointed Moshe, and on. We talked about that, but the point is that they were said simultaneously, something you and I can't, begin to hear. We can't even, as I know, you probably know it also, and we've all been through this where we're trying to talk on a phone and our kids are asking us a question at the same time. And then we see that a pot is boiling over. Okay, so how well can we do that? Excuse it?
You have a video in my
house. I have a video camera, yeah. No, we all live. Right? And it's like...
There's but one brain.
That's it. Yeah. It's like what I always say. It's that, life is not the woman... on those baby magazines, with this pure white, beautiful robe, staring down, gently at the baby,
and
her hair is just so, and she's all, for pits, and she's staring down at the baby, and you imagine, it's 3:00 in the morning, so. I can't quote Bill Cosby anymore for obvious reasons, but he did have a comedy routine where he went, right, okay? That's not reality. So, okay. At any rate, Shamor v'zachor b'dibur echad. So it said simultaneously to tell us that each is really an aspect of the other, but for humankind, I guess, we have the idea of the precedence of Shamor. Okay? Now, Hishmianu Keil Hamiyuchad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled us. Hishmianu is the verbal form known as the he feel. It's the causative. It's the causative form. Right. It means to call, to enable, to facilitate. So Hashem facilitated this miraculous hearing of Shemor V'Zachor B'Dibur Echad. But of course, we didn't hear it as B'Dibur Echad. We heard it as two separate words. Okay, so he communicated that to us. Now, it's interesting here, what kind of name is used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Keil. Keil means powerful, all powerful. Keil is part of Elohim, right? Now, Hamiyuchad. Now, the translator here has unified God. Doesn't really mean unified. Whenever we think about... the idea of echad, miuchad, I would go with Rav Soloveitchik, which means solo or Unique. I think that's a much better translation. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the unique, the one, or is everyday phrase that I like very much. It's even better than unique. The one and only. I like that. I think it says
Sounds like the Shema.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, it says that in the next one.
Exactly. See how that then goes and fits so well?
Beautiful.
Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. Now, if you're not hearing Shema, then we're in Gehak Tetzuris at this point. Okay? So, Hashem Echad, Hashem is... Now, again, Rav Soloveitchik said, Echad doesn't just mean one, and it doesn't mean indivisible, but it means unique. Okay? Ushmo Echad, and as you remember when we did Dar Shirim on Shema, that would mean his essence is one. But again, his essence is unique. In other words, think about it this way. Take it this way, the love that you have for your children, okay? You can't explain that to anybody else in the world, especially when your kids misbehave, and you still love them.
Unconditionally.
Why? Because they're your kids. End the conversation. No matter what they do, well, in the simple words, what don't you understand about yes? Mm-hmm. Right? And now it's beyond something you can communicate to anyone else. And believe me, as much as you're, let's say you have a sister and she's the aunt, okay, and she loves your kids too. Well, your sister doesn't love your kids the way you love your kids. Okay? It's just this something you can't explain. So the same thing here. We're using words about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are human words, but in no way are we actually describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The point we've made a number of times. And in a sense, Rav Shlomo Alkobetz is telling us that in the next words that he's using. L'shem. So that's talking, remember we always say shem refers to essence, and whatever the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, which of course perennially and evermore eludes us. Ula Tiferet. Tiferet is the idea of splendor, of beauty. Beauty beyond anything we can really even describe. Okay? Whatever in your life you have found overwhelmingly beautiful. So just imagine, go back to algebra. Imagine exponentially unlimited exponential.
Okay, good. I'm
ready
to put it in those terms.
On and on. Right? It's just the splendor of Hashem is beyond what we can describe. And also with Tehillah. Right? Tehillah, praise. Right? So we have Sefer Tehillim. And we're always praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, it's limited to human words. Okay? Now, next. I think we're going to get one more verse in before the night. And even though Marvin is in Israel, we're still going to try to keep to 9 o'clock, to be fair. Okay. Next part. Likrat Shabbat Luchu V'Ne'elcha. Okay? So let's go. Again, it's still man encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, Hashem, let's go and encounter Shabbat together. Now, it's fascinating. L'chu v'ne'elcha. All right, let's go, let's travel, let's go, let's walk, let's join forces. Okay? Now, l'chu v'ne'elcha is a phrase, and here's is the beauty of, you know, the Bar Ilan and or a concordance. It comes up three times in Tanakh. L'chu v'ne'elcha. Twice in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and once, very, very famously, it comes up in Sefer Yeshayahu. Okay? It comes up in Sefer Yeshayahu. Let's see if I wrote it down. Yeah, Yeshayahu Bet Pasukei. So 2:5. And there you have a very, very famous pasuk. Beit Yaakov Lechu V'Ne'elcha. And the last two words of the pasuk are Be'or Hashem. Now, says, you know, the house of Israel, let us go and let us travel in the light of Hashem. So it's interesting. Anyone have an idea which famous early Zionist group that actually went to Israel from Poland and Russia took its initials from here, of Beit Yaakov L'Chuvenecha. Close, not well, but on the other end of the religious spectrum, a group called Bilu. You ever heard of Bilu? Mm-hmm. The pioneers are very early, very, very early on. Now, it's interesting. Bilu left off the two most important words of the Pasuk, Be'or Hashem. They were communists and socialists. Okay? But when we have the Pasuk and we think about it, we always stress first, Be'or Hashem. But you know what? I'm very much a Rav Kook person when it comes to this. As Rav Kook said, everyone who's here is a very holy person. And we can never write a single Jew off. And what they're doing in terms of Yishuv Ba'aretz, this is also very holy. So if for a moment it makes you uncomfortable to think that way, so, and I know that you're saying, Ben-Gurion? Yes, Ben-Gurion. Okay, Golda?
Golda. Oh, Golda.
Right? Everybody. Okay? Oh, and Rav Kook? Avada Gavis, what are you talking about? Okay? Because you know what it is ultimately? Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, we're all responsible. We all should care about each other. Yeah. And we have more in common, okay, than we can ever really imagine. So what is Shabbat? So now we have a really beautiful description of Shabbat. Ki hi makor habracha. That's what Shabbat is. Shabbat is the source of all blessing. So there's a very famous phrase. I forget, I think it was Echad Ha'am who said this. Echad Ha'am was a very deeply Jewishly conscious philosopher, thinker. Not yet at that point, I don't believe he was religiously traditional, but he was a deep, deep thinker. And he said, more than the Jew has kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept the Jew. Very famous phrase. It's the source of all bracha. Okay? So as Rav Hirsch sort of said it in his comments, and again, I'm taking his comments and distilling them so that we can all appreciate it. He said that were it not for the Jewish people, the idea of Shabbat for humankind would have been completely lost. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, were it not for Shabbat, the Jews would have been completely lost. It's a variation on the Echad Ha'am phrase. I thought it was a very beautiful idea.
Go ahead. When it says wellsprings, is that referring to the Torah?
No. Shabbat itself.
Okay, fine.
Right? It's now why? You have every right to ask why. Shlomo Alkabetz tells us right now. Meirosh, from the very beginning, Shabbat was pre-planned by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mekedem, from the earliest moment, Nesucha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Shabbat. So it's very interesting. Shabbat is the very last of all the days. Mm-hmm. That's why the next line says, Sof Ma'aseh. It was created, per se, right, as the last day of creation, and a day, paradoxically enough, where there was no creation. But, says Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, b'machshava techila. Okay? But in thought, it was the first. And it really leads you to the concept of what? Acharon acharon chaviv. I always thought that was very interesting, and whenever I've talked or spoken to a young chatan, I always remind that young chatan, who was created first? Adam or Chava? And he goes, that's easy. Of course, it was Chava. So therefore, Achron Achron Chaviv, you better be nice to her.
Right? Good advice.
Okay, I mean, that's short, sweet. Mm-hmm. It's a good vort for a Sheva Brachot because it's so easy to remember. Okay, so thank you all, everyone. And Imir Hashem, next week we'll continue with the wonderful world of Rav Shlomo Alkabetz and Lecha Dodi.